I too greet you in Jesus' name. It's good to see everyone here again in this building. We are a blessed people. We have the privilege of worshiping our God together, unhindered from the world, so to speak. Many places people don't have this privilege. Let's just pause and have a word of prayer here. Our Heavenly Father, we pause before you this morning again with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that we have of placing ourselves under the preaching of your word here at this time, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you would, even now, that you would minister to each one of our needs here, Lord. Lord, we desire to look into your word, and we desire to be fed by you this morning, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. I pray, Lord, that you would, this morning, that you would give us ears that can hear and hearts that can receive. And Lord, as we receive these things into our lives, just pray, Lord, that you would help us to work those things out, to that we would allow them to bring forth fruit, Lord. We just again, this morning, pray for your people, wherever they are this morning, and just commit each one to you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The last couple of days, I was again just reminded the blessings that we have, and we probably think about that especially when we see other people suffering, and we know that at times we take our turns, but in our King family chat, there was a couple of things that came up, and it's like, oh, just again reminded, you know, how uncertain life is and how short it is. And there was one incident where not anyone that I know, but a family father was killed in a farm accident. And it's like, oh, you know, it's like life is short. And my another person that somebody in my family knows, they just had a child that was stillborn. And, you know, those things, yeah, they just remind us of our life and who's, you know, we don't have control of our lives, and how uncertain life is. And, you know, thinking about us being here this morning and being able to worship together, and in some places they're not able to do that. And so we have many blessings, and yet we see, you know, in the midst of this, we see people struggling. We see them giving up sometimes, and we wonder why. And I guess the question that I would like to ask us this morning, and I would like for us to think about that, is how firm is my foundation? And how am I building on that foundation that I consider as something that is going to hold, that is going to sustain me? You know, Randy had a nice illustration here this morning with the children, with the lesson there, in how you know, what sin does. It weighs us down. And it's too often, I dare say, that we're guilty of, we carry some of these sins with us. And we don't need to. You know, we can come to Jesus and we can lay those sins before Him and we can be set free from those things. So if we're here this morning and we find ourselves carrying some sins, that is your choice. And Jesus died on the cross and He rose again that you might be set free. And He's inviting you to come to Him and to bring those sins to Him. We see how, you know, when we decide to carry some sins, that they often keep adding. And eventually, like we saw this morning, people stumble, they fall. And many times, they can't get back up until they find deliverance of the sin that is weighing them down. A little while back, I was reading in the book of Daniel, and I'd like to turn there this morning. And we a familiar account here, I believe, Daniel and his friends here. But if we turn to Daniel chapter 1, and we look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here, and we see that as they were captive here, that they were being tested by the king here, and they were asked to take part in things that they were uncomfortable in. They were asked to eat foods that they didn't feel good about eating. And we see them right here in this first chapter. We see them taking a stand for their God. They weren't willing to give in just a little. They weren't willing to go down the road of compromise. And they asked the king that they would like to eat their foods. And he agreed to let them do that for, maybe it wasn't the king, but it was the person that was over them. And they went on, I believe, on a trial of 10 days. And they ate their foods. And in the end, when they came out of that time frame, they were looking better than the others were that were eating the king's meat. And they were, I think, considered as wiser. And so we see that they were considered as they came out of this, and they hung on to their convictions, and they were considered to be 10 times wiser, I believe. In Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had a troubling dream. And he went to his wise men and he told them that he had a dream, but he couldn't remember what the dream was. And his wise men thought that he was being a little foolish, because he said, "I can't remember my dream, and it's troubling me. And I want you to tell me the dream that I dreamt. And not only do I want you to tell me the dream that I dreamt, but I want you to reveal the meaning of this dream to me. And they quickly acknowledged that that was ridiculous and that they wouldn't be able to do such. And so King Nebuchadnezzar demanded their lives of them. And Daniel came on the scene here, and he also was one of them, and he asked for some time. And if we go down to verse 19 here, we see that Daniel went to his God and he prayed to God that God would reveal to him and show him what King Nebuchadnezzar was troubled over. Then in verse 19 here, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." We see here that Daniel here was in a, again, he was relying on God. He was seeking God for wisdom, for understanding, and we see that it was revealed to him. We go down to verse 46 here. Here we see Daniel was spending time with King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was shared what King Nebuchadnezzar had seen in his dream and had revealed the meaning of it. Then here in verse 46, "Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king." We see here Daniel's faithfulness to God. But we see here also that Nebuchadnezzar, you know, when he saw the power of God, of Daniel's God, he acknowledged him as a God that can reveal secrets, and he was impressed. But we see that Nebuchadnezzar's life believing in this God was very short-lived. He used this God when it was convenient for him, so to speak, when it brought the answers that he needed. But if we go into chapter 3 here, and before I go there, I'd just like to again remind us here, as we follow Daniel and his friends here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we follow them, we see them consistently just living a consistent life, a life that is focused on serving God. They were setting themselves up. Their foundation was being built, was getting stronger and stronger, because they, as they lived this life, Daniel had the opportunity of seeing his God working in a mighty way. He knew that God was in control. And I'm sure that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego also observed these things and were a part of that. But here now, as we go into chapter 3, we see that Nebuchadnezzar here again, you know, he was seeking to bring honor to himself. He built an image, and he demanded that the people bow down and worship this image that he built, to worship his God. In verse 15 here, "Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" And we see in verse 16 here, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." In this answer here that they gave to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we see a service of commitment. They knew that they were serving a God that could protect them, that could deliver them out of the king's hands. But they were also committed to serving their God and their God alone. Even if he chose not to deliver them, even if they had to die, we see the answer that they gave, that they were sure. Their foundation was solid. They weren't wavering. Well, it's like, well, what if God doesn't come through? That wasn't the question in their mind. So we look at these first couple chapters here and just again see what they went through and the commitment, the walk that we see there. We see that they had a foundation that was firm. They were committed to their God. And, you know, as we place our lives, as we consider our life and as we're walking through life, do we see something similar? Do we see a life that is committed, and that is committed to serving God, and is willing to say no when things come up that we see as coming against God and what we're taught to do? Or do we find ourselves sometimes maybe, well, we just compromise a little bit here? We turn to Matthew chapter 5, and just like for us to look here in the first verse here, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and if we go through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 here, we see Jesus teaching many things. And the disciples were receiving these things. And I'm not going to read all these verses here. I'm just going to pick through and just like to make some points here. In verse 16 of chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We see this teaching here. And if we drop down to verse 31 here, Jesus here is teaching about divorce. In it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again, you have heard that it has been said of them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. If we go to chapter 6, verse 7, we see Jesus teaching on prayer. Tells us when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know, what he's saying is fancy prayers. You know, prayers that are, you know, if they sound good, God wants to see hearts. He wants to see a relationship. He wants to see communication. In verse 16, talks about fasting. He teaches on moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Letting other people know what they're doing, getting honor from men. And he's saying that's going to be their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Are we looking to receive rewards, honor from men? Or are we looking to receive from our Heavenly Father? In verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? It's teaching us that we don't need to worry. And I think, I don't know if one of those bricks had worry on, but you know, worry weighs us down. How easy it is to worry. How much better would it be if I was able to just take that and come to the Lord and say, I'm struggling with this. This is something I don't know what to do with it. It's not in my control. And I need to give it to you. How much better would that be if we could learn to do that? And, you know, we did it once, and we do it again, and we do it again. And then as we do those things, we find ourselves, it's like, oh, here's an area that I'm hanging on to, something that I'm worrying about. And our foundation, our weight gets lighter, and our foundation gets more firm. We find ourselves stumbling less because we're not hanging on to all that weight. We've given it to Jesus. We're praying in behalf of whatever that is that we're struggling with. In chapter 7, verse 15, he tells us to be aware of false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves, dangerous people. I go through all of these, and there's much, much more here that Jesus is teaching us things to do, things to observe, to be aware of. And if we come into the end of the chapter here, going down to verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I believe Jesus is talking about the things that he had just taught. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. we see two foundations. We see two people. We see one storm. And we see two results. And in these verses here, we see in verse 24, "Hearest these sayings of mine and doest them." And in verse 26, "Hearest these sayings of mine and doest them not." So, hearing, we need to hear God's word, but we need to be wise. And we need to hear them, and we need to allow them to sink into our hearts and lives, and to be part of our lives. And I believe, you know, as we hear these things, as we do them, we can be assured that our foundation will be solid. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about the foundation crumbling if we're digging deep. As I think Luke says, you know, the cost is high. We're not taking the shortcuts. You know, when the king comes and asks us to do something, to eat the foods that Daniel was in, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were confronted with, they said, "No, but we would like to try, we would like to do this." And the king agreed, and we see, you know, they quietly presented their God, and their foundation grew stronger. And then when the next test came, they were able to stand. And they saw God working. They saw God's power in that dream that was revealed to Daniel. And then the next thing came, and they were able to trust God, because they knew that God knew what was best. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, "The name of the Lord is like a strong tower." Romans 13, verse 14, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh." Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Is that something that we find ourselves practicing? Do we build on that foundation that is going to be strong, that is going to hold us up? Do we understand Satan's schemes, the way he attacks? As we consider, you know, making sure that our foundation is sure and strong. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." You know, our enemy wants to do that. He wants to find ways to, and get us to start bouncing around, to be that we wouldn't be solid, but we would be bumping from this to that, and, you know, basically our foundation becomes unsure. And God tells us we don't need to live like that. We if that's what we're experiencing, God has something else in mind for us. In John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Sometimes maybe we forget, you know, times get, you know, rough. There's waves in the sea, and we feel like, what is going on? And we need to remember that. I think if we can remember this verse here, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so, you know, I think that's one of Satan's tricks, is he focuses us on the tribulations, the things that are coming against us, the things of the world, and he doesn't want us to focus in on the other part of that verse. You know, he wants us to forget. He wants us to forget about those promises, that you might have peace, and that I have overcome the world. And if we focus on that part of it, all of a sudden the trials that come from us because of the things of the world, they minimize, because we're relying, you know, we're focusing on God's strengths. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand." He's telling us, he's reminding us again here, you know, we need God. We can't do this on our own, but we need his strengths. Our inner man must be strengthened. And we need to remember that our strength comes from the Lord. It is not us. It is not our personal experience. It's not how old we are or how wise we are that gives us that, but it is from the Lord, you know. Learning to trust God. And I think we saw that in Daniel and in his friends there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there's many others in the Bible that we can see that example as well. We turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. An account here that we see with David. And we see that David recognized where his strengths came from. And he was in a predicament here. If we go down to in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 3, "So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Their possessions, their families, their homes, everything that they owned was gone. And David was the leader of these people here. And if we look here in verse 6, "And David was greatly distressed, for not only had he lost his family, and had the people that he was leading had lost their families, but we see here, for the people spake of stoning him." They were taking it out on David. They were blaming David for this thing that had happened to their families. "Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." But the end of the verse here we see, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." I'm sure that was a practice that David had. You get yourself in a situation here with no time to prepare, and you come home and everything is gone, and you're grieving. So, you know, being able to process and make good decisions doesn't just happen by itself in these moments. And then on top of that, David's men, you know, they're distressed. And they spake of stoning him because he let this happen. And what does David do? You know, looks like he walks away and he encouraged himself in his Lord, his God. His foundation was sure, strong. It wasn't about to give out on him. We see, you know, there too, David saw his weakness and turned to God. And David experienced the Lord's strengths. How do I respond in closing here? How do I find myself responding when life gets difficult? Do I fall on a foundation that isn't sure, that's gonna let me set? Or do I find myself doing what David did, what others have done in the Bible? Do I find myself stopping and turning to Jesus and strengthening myself in the Lord so I can move forward? In closing here, James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. May God bless.